5 6. Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
There have been some reports that President Putin is pausing for a moment and reflecting on what's happened. I think that we've all seen that from the perspective of the European Union, the United States, allies like Canada and Japan, and allies and friends and partners around the world, there is a strong belief that Russia's action is violating international law. I know.
You mean like you're violating international law on a daily basis?
A different set of lawyers making a different set of interpretations.
Different set of lawyers. Now, what do you expect from Barack Obama, a lawyer who never practiced law? Welcome to the Savage Nation. Today's program has a title. It's called The New World Order versus the Old World Order. Obviously, you can figure out who represents the New World Order and who represents the Old World Order. And you can decide which side you're on. I know many of you want to comment on what's going on in the Balkans. The phone number is 855-472-8282, 855-472-SAVAGE. Again, if you missed my seminal article of yesterday, you need not miss it. It's on michaelsavage.com, where I said that Putin crossed Obama's pink line. So Obama gave that speech saying that Putin is pausing for a moment, and a few moments later he testified an ICBM, Putin. Putin rides horses, and Obama rides a bicycle with a helmet. Putin, shall I go down the list? It doesn't mean I'm in love with Putin or I think that Russia's 100% right, but it's in their sphere of interest. It's not in our sphere of interest. And the warmongers have to stop. McCain should be arrested. He runs his mouth. I believe in free speech, but this man is not just a talk show host. John McCain is a U.S. senator. He started this whole ball rolling in December when he went over there and stirred up the masses to overthrow a legitimately elected president of the Ukraine. If there was an anti-Nobel Peace Prize, meaning a war prize, McCain should get it. In 1999, I wrote an article called The Oily Tracks Running Through Kosovo, which you must hear. It's an archival piece that belongs in a hall of fame somewhere, because what went on in Kosovo under Clinton is being repeated now in the Ukraine. And by the way, the players are very similar. And I'm going to read it to you. Remember who wrote it and when. Long before some people were even in radio, long before some people even knew where Kosovo was, they were still working inside the bowels of the government, pretending to be public servants. Now they're talk show hosts saying that America's right. This is amazing to me. How people who hate Obama now are on Obama's side while attacking Obama. That's amazing to me. How they can have it all different ways. I mean, it just shows you what we have in the neocon media here. The oily tracks running through Kosovo. The New World Order versus the Old World Order. For some reason, I'm getting faxes in the middle of a show. I'd like to throw the machine into the San Francisco Bay. Who's ever doing this should be fired. So let me read this to you. Let me read this to you as soon as the twiggling stops. 855-407-282. Putin says no immediate need to invade eastern Ukraine. Leaves that threat dangling. Dangling, huh? You know, I've seen agitprop in my life, and I've seen propaganda in my life. John Kerry leaning over a makeshift memorial to the fallen victims of the protests in the Ukraine with stacks of flowers and burnt-out tires was on the grand list of agitprop. It was right out of Animal Farm. John Kerry ought to go and put a memorial to the Border Patrol agents who've been killed by Mexican invaders. The U.S. government ought to put our troops on the border with Mexico because we're being invaded, our borders crushed, and our sovereignty destroyed by the New World Order under John Kerry and Barack Obama. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about Ukraine. I could give a rat's behind about Ukraine. All of a sudden, all the people who busted our borders and destroyed our borders, language, and culture are telling me, oh, we must respect the territorial integrity of the Ukraine. We must respect the borders of the Ukraine. Why don't you start at home, John? Why don't you start at home, John, and just admit that you're working for the oil oligarchs, John? I'll read this to you. You tell me what you think. Are you ready? The oily tracks running through Kosovo, November 30th, 1999, by Michael Savage. Kosovo was about oil and nothing but oil, with maybe some uranium thrown in and a dash of Wag the Dog, and you thought it was to save the poor Kosovar Albanians. Of all the ethnically cleansed peoples around the world, some numbering in the millions, the beneficent powers of NATO decided to draw the line with the Kosovar Albanians. About 2,000 of the ethnic Albanians had been reportedly killed by Serbs in the preceding years, so it was time for the humanitarian guard to take action. No matter that about as many Serbs have been killed by the Albanians, and that Kosovo is a part of the sovereign state of Yugoslavia, and that this conflict had been ongoing for centuries. Big oil required a pipeline through Kosovo, and the poor Serbs just happened to own the wrong real estate at the wrong time. How do I know that the Kosovo action was about oil, or to be exact, about establishing a safe haven for an oil pipeline? Remember when I wrote this in 1999, when some were still putting up wallboard, when others were still acting as lawyers inside the bowels of the government? I wrote this. I wrote that just recently, Bill Clinton signed an historic agreement with Azerbaijan on this very matter. Azerbaijan is one of the former Soviet republics that became a separate country with the breakup of the USSR. Formerly, Caspian oil would have come into the world market as a Soviet export, but not anymore. It now comes under the flag of this newly independent nation via Turkey, where it is transshipped by way of Turkish seaports. And Russia has been deftly unlinked from the world oil market. Pay attention to this very carefully, please. Learn something. Learn something. Stop thinking in sound bites. Now, keen interest in Azerbaijani oil is nothing new. The Germans have had a compelling interest in this oil going back to 1905 and extending through the two world wars up to and including the present. One of Hitler's primary goals in his push to the east was to capture the Azerbaijani oil fields. But where the Kaiser and Nazi Germany failed, it seems the New World Order featuring Bill Clinton, Tony Blair, and other socialists is going to succeed. Remember 1999 and see where I'm going here. The plan is now to route the oil in a way that will fulfill Germany's long-sought-after objective. Here is how the oil is going to run. It starts from the oil fields of Baku, Azerbaijan's capital of the Caspian Sea. It is piped from there across Azerbaijan and Georgia through Turkey. But the plan of Bill Clinton and the rest of the present-day Neue Ordnung is now to have it piped from Turkey directly through Bulgaria. I won't read the details of the pipeline. I'll just skip to the chase. But before reaching the Danube and the Adriatic, as you probably guessed, the pipeline must first go from Bulgaria through Yugoslavia and Kosovo. Slobodan Milosevic, however, has had other plans for oil shipment through his country that are more to his liking and Russia's. Pay attention to what I just said, and Russia's. And Milosevic was unwilling to cooperate with this scenario. The NATO socialists were attacking Russia by proxy in stealing Kosovo from Serbia. Let me pause right there. The NATO socialists attacked Russia by proxy when they stole Kosovo from Serbia. Russia knew it then, and Russia sees it happening all over again. Does this begin to make sense to you? Does this make sense to you? During the shameful and cowardly NATO bombing of the historic bridges across the Danube River, the mouthpieces of the government media complex ceaselessly propagandized Madeleine Albright, Jamie Rubin, Jamie Shea, the English soccer thug, Madeleine Halfbright's stooge, Jamie Rubin, the husband of that Mata Hari on CNN, whose name I forget, with the false British accent, Solana, the Spanish socialist, an unnamed Luftwaffe general, and others continue the big lie. They were bombing Serbian civilians, hospitals, schools, trains, power plants, apartments, orphanages, to save Albanians, they said. Yeah, they were also destroying Kosovo to save it. These international war criminals were led by General Wesley Clark, a Rhodes Scholar from Arkansas, who clicked his shiny heels for the commander in grief, Bill Clinton, another Rhodes Scholar from Arkansas. But the greatest shame must fall upon the tendentious media hacks. including Fox News, I said at the time, and most columnists of the neo-right all fell in line, just as they are doing today, ladies and gentlemen. The Limbaugh cartel is no different. They've all taken the side of Obama while attacking Obama. They said at the time that the criminal bombing of Serbia was just. They said it was to save the innocent ethnic Albanians from the evil non-ethnic Serbs. Have you now heard one of these hacks apologize or admit they were duped, used by Big Oil to apologize for, to justify NATO war crimes? Well, I can go on. Did you know that more than 25,000 Greek citizens rioted over this, and they were underreported in number? They rioted against what they did to the Serbs. And so let me conclude. This was written in 1999. It's one more paragraph. You'll see where I'm going. With the NATO presence in Kosovo, the way is now clear for the pipeline and for the ethnic Albanians to ethnically cleanse the province, to make the world safe for Big Oil's Trans-Kosovo pipeline. 1999, the oily tracks run through Kosovo. Today's show is entitled The New World Order versus the Old World Order. If you've got a comment to make, we're open for business. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. 855-400-7282. This is the Savage Nation. Let's take our first caller. Let's take our first caller out of, I don't know, we got so many callers. It's hard for me to know where to go right now because I just read that and my mind is not on callers, but I need to take callers. Let's go to WJR in Detroit. Mark, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage, how you doing today? Are you there?
Yeah, I never answer how I'm doing. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, I just wanted to make one comment about John Kerry. He is a relic of the Cold War, and I thought the Cold War was over, and I don't think it's good for us to go back to sparring the United States and Russia.
Of course it's not good. Nuclear war is dangerous for children and other living creatures. Isn't that what the left taught us? Well, now they put us to the brink of an ICBM duel. I mean, you do know within the last hour that Russia just launched a test ICBM. That was in reaction to Kerry's blustering and Obama's fumbling. You know that, don't you?
Well, yeah, I know that. And I haven't worried about much.
No, I haven't worried at all. I'm not ducking covering under my desk. I grew up with that in the 50s. I remember duck and cover. I lived through the Cold War. Duck and cover. We in New York and the East Coast used to, as children, none of us got damaged by it. It's very funny. We didn't need flowers and balloons and clowns to come in to give us some kind of treatment afterwards. We just realized we lived in a really dangerous world. And so when the teacher said duck and cover, we ran and hid under the desks. Wouldn't have helped us, of course. But at least we had a sense of empowerment that if there was going to be a nuclear bomb dropped in New York City, we felt, well, we're under a desk, we're in a closet, we got a chance to pull a girl's hair. We had fun anyway. You know, kids play no matter what happens. But we didn't need therapy after running into the closet or under the desk. Isn't it odd that now that the psychos have taken over the schools, everything that happens, they need therapy, they need sessions to help the children. None of us needed sessions. We went on and did great work here in America, most of us. Most of us could read, we could write, we could add. We created professions and families. We didn't need the therapists. We didn't need the perverted, sick, demented, twisted therapists that are now bending our children's minds with dangerous drugs. But don't let me get distracted here. You're listening to a program today about the big issue, which is Obama and his weakness makes Neville Chamberlain look like Superman. In fact, Obama makes Jimmy Carter look like Superman. The weakness, the spinelessness of Obama is what's causing all of this. And by the way, thank you, taxpayers. Michelle Obama and her daughters are announcing another luxurious vacation to China. The sixth annual winter vacation was just to the Hawaiian Islands at a cost of $4 million. But Michelle and Malia and Sasha will now jet off to China for over a week of much-needed sightseeing. But don't worry, the First Lady's mother, Marianne Robinson, will be tagging along on your dime. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
There are challenges. I regret to say that Russia, in some of the challenges we're seeing right now in Ukraine, has put pressure on Moldova.
Now Moldova.
There are challenges
with
respect to their energy sources. Also their ability to trade. But we are committed.
All right, I can't listen to this guy. I frankly can't listen to any of them. And I'll tell you why they have no credibility. It's not that they're Democrats or liberals. It's because they're liars from the top of their hair. From their part to their toenail, they're liars. They tell me I should care about the sovereignty of the Ukraine and respect the borders, that Russia should respect the borders and the sovereignty of the Ukraine, and they break my borders with Mexico. They spit on my borders, language, and culture. These are illegitimate leaders. We may as well have had a coup in this country in terms of the American people respecting a word that comes out of their mouth. I feel as though we've had a coup and a foreign invasion has taken over this country. I feel that most every day. I feel like foreigners have invaded my country. They don't speak for America. I'll tell you what. Why don't we have a referendum in America over the next 90 days on whether or not we want 30 million illegal aliens made into citizens in the United States of America? Let's have a vote. Obama and Kerry speak highly about democracy and duly elected this and duly elected that and the people's will. All right, then let's have a referendum in every state, a special election. Do you or don't you want amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens, primarily from Mexico, in the United States of America? Very simple question. Tell me how that works out. 75 to 25? 76 to 24, 78 to 22 against being annexed by Mexico. Sure, that's how it works out. So I don't believe one word that's coming out of their mouths. Do you understand that? It's just wrenching my guts, this whole thing. It's wrenching my guts. It's killing me. It's killing me to watch this hysteria and this hypocrisy. The hysteria, hypocrisy, weakness of Obama and Kerry and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse is nauseating to witness, by the way. All right, I have a special guest for you when I come back. You can call 855-400-7282.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Michael Savage.
The American people are sitting like a bunch of schmucks watching a dictatorship emerge in front of their eyes.
Weekdays, noon till 3 on Hot Talk 560 KSFO.
Still denies that it's Russian troops there. I mean, this is right back to the old Cold War rhetoric.
And John McCain is a lunatic who should be arrested on sight by Interpol, in my opinion. John McCain is a warmonger. He's trying to start the Third World War. It's the only thing the senile old warhorse knows. The fact of the matter is, I have a picture of Ukraine nationalists wearing Beat the Yid t-shirts in the Ukraine right now. Am I the only one who has this picture? Did you hear what I just said? Ukraine nationalists wear Beat the Yids t-shirts in the Ukraine. I didn't say all the Ukrainians want to beat the Yids, but there is a neo-fascist element amongst the Ukrainian nationalists. Don't deny it. Don't deny it. Now let's go to a very important guest. He was on last week and stirred up a firestorm here of interest. Paul Joseph Watson of Prison Planet. Paul, welcome back to the program. I read your article yesterday. I was very impressed with it. About the fracking of the shale in Poland and Romania. Where does that, how's that going to play out, Paul?
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. So how's that going to play out?
Yeah, the premise is that this is largely an energy war because Europe and NATO are desperate to end their dependence on natural gas from Russia, while Russia is desperate to maintain its near monopoly on natural gas in Eastern Europe. So that's the undercurrent that's dominating this conflict. And it all
Paul Joseph Watson, you wrote a very brilliant, incisive article that I read, and I paraphrased it yesterday, but I want the listeners to understand what's going on here. Putin has a near monopoly on natural gas to Europe. He's the Pacific Gas and Electric of Europe, in other words, for those of us on the West Coast. So if he turns the gas off, they freeze to death. Now, naturally, the Europeans are trying to develop their own independent sources of energy, and so they're fracking in Poland and Romania and in Eastern Europe. Don't you believe that Putin might invade the entire Ukraine to prevent the breakup of his monopoly?
I think it's certainly possible, but I think the current occupation of Crimea is about setting the precedent for eastern Ukraine being under Russian control, because three of the four major natural gas pipelines run through eastern Ukraine from Russia. So that's why, for example, shortly before the overthrow of the prior government, you had energy giants such as Chevron, Royal Dutch Shell, and Exxon, who had started exploration for new natural gas fields in western Ukraine, and they actually discovered huge new natural gas fields, but they couldn't get the go-ahead from the former Ukrainian government because Putin was leaning on them with this trade deal prior to the overthrow. So now, in the aftermath of the coup, which the documents all prove was USAID, National Endowment for Democracy funded, those deals are likely to be agreed. So this is why Putin has escalated the military occupation of Crimea, because he's attempting to create a bulwark against that exploitation of western Ukraine by the likes of Chevron and Exxon.
Okay, today we learned an hour ago Russia test-fired an ICBM amid tension over the Ukraine. Obviously, that was a warning, wasn't it?
It's a warning, yeah, but I think a lot of it from both sides is hot air. Because if you actually look at the basics of the military strength of both sides, Ukraine and Russia don't have enough strength to outmaneuver one another. So I think this is heading towards a de facto partition of East and West Ukraine, and then it's going to swivel back into a political battle about who controls the puppet government in Kiev.
Now, you said something that I happen to, from my reading, I believe you are correct. You said it was the United States that organized the coup that overthrew the duly elected leader. I think everyone seems to forget that the man who was overthrown, Yanukovych, was elected. Wasn't he elected?
He was democratically elected just a month after these protests began, which again, the documents now confirmed USAID, National Endowment for Democracy, George Soros' Open Society Institute. Those exact groups on the ground were being funded by the U.S. State Department. So that was all in swing back in November. Democratically elected government was overthrown as a result of these militants. And now, as you mentioned in your introduction, this neo-Nazi Svoboda Party has been given three key positions within that post-coup government, even though they've got proven links to neo-Nazis. I mean, one of their top officials created a think tank in homage to Joseph Goebbels, the Nazi propaganda minister, and Victoria Nuland, the U.S. as a top diplomat in Europe, met with the leader of this Svoboda Party just a couple of months before the overthrow.
So McCain is lying, or he's an idiot, when he says that Putin is lying about any neo-Nazi connection. Let's listen to clip six for a moment. Listen to this dumb moron. I have to characterize him. He's the most dangerous man on the chessboard right now. It looks like he could get us into a war. Listen to clip six.
Vladimir Putin's statements to the press there in the last few hours that these are neo-Nazis and anti-Semites and still denies that it's Russian troops.
Well, let's stop right there. Now, that was on Fox News, and the empty skirt just went and refixed her lipstick. But we know, as a fact of reality, there are Ukrainian nationalists who are neo-Nazis or sympathizers. Let's clear that up, Mr. Watson. Do you agree with that?
Well, yes, exactly. I mean, Time magazine put out a report about a week ago saying the same thing as McCain, that there were no neo-Nazis in Kiev. Yet BBC News and others have broadcast footage of literal columns of armed militants wearing SS armbands, in homage, of course, to the Waffen-SS, marching through Kiev armed. And now, as I said, they've been given three top positions within the government. So not only are there neo-Nazis patrolling the streets of Kiev, they're actually being given positions of power under the umbrella of this fascist Svoboda Party.
How in the world could this be buried by the world? Well, I shouldn't ask what I know to be true. The world press is a propaganda machine, and during the 1999 bombing of Kosovo, although every bridge on the Danube was blown up by Bill Clinton's repainted NATO under General Wesley Clark, not one picture ever appeared of one bridge being blown up on the Danube River. Not one picture by the world press. I mean, the same thing is going on here, Paul.
Well, they routinely underplay it, don't they? I mean, we saw what happened in Syria, where years ago the Council on Foreign Relations, which again is a front for the State Department, was openly calling for the U.S. to side with Al-Qaeda Then we saw John McCain actually visit Syria and meet with al-Qaeda-linked militants. So time and time again, these fascists, these extremist forces are being backed by elements of the U.S. government.
But why is it John McCain, who was always on the front lines with these crazy elements, what is he doing? Who is he working for?
He's working for the Council on Foreign Relations, basically. That's who I see as the head of the Hydra behind this, because they've been calling for this for years. So
who? Leslie Gelb and his friends?
Sorry?
Leslie Gelb and his friends at the CFR?
Leslie Gelb, of course. Hillary Clinton joked that she would only have to walk down the street to get her orders from the CFR because it's so close to the State Department building in Washington, D.C. So these are the crooks that are behind this. They were behind it in Syria, and they're behind it again in Ukraine.
Where does this go? Paul Joseph Watson of Prison Planet, you write articles that I read all the time because they're very insightful, they're very well researched. You know more about this than I do. Where, I mean, can you take a guess where this is going?
It's going to end up with the partition of Ukraine. Whether that turns into a Berlin Wall situation, it's anybody's guess. But, of course, the danger in that, even though a lot of the rhetoric we're hearing from Kerry and Obama is hot air, as per usual, there's no teeth behind it, the danger is that we're going to see a confrontation that could explode this out of control. We saw the footage today of the Ukrainian soldiers marching up to the Russian-held base where the Russian troops fired warning shots in the air. They had actual missile launchers trained on these Ukrainian troops. So aside from the larger geopolitical play, we could have an incident which could spark a hot war within the Ukraine, and that's the big risk.
So in other words, a war could begin almost by accident in this situation.
It's so easy for that to happen. It's unbelievable.
You know, this reminds me of the guns of August 1917. I've said this repeatedly. World War I was a war that started almost by accident in a very similar manner, again, over an incident in the Balkans, or related to the Balkans. It was a tinderbox, and one world power threatened the other, one dared the other, and then they were sort of dragged into it based on an ego game. I see a very similar element here. Is that an irrational analysis, or do you think there are comparabilities here?
I think it's entirely comparable, and the fact that World War One, 100 years ago, started on much less of a pretext than some of the footage we've seen even today out of Ukraine is chilling, to say the least. And this, again, this goes into deep state politics. This is way above the teleprompter reader Obama. And as you said, any kind of confrontation which we saw today could spark this into something that gets quickly out of control. So while, you know, Putin's trying to call Obama's bluff in the short term, and this rhetoric about sanctions is largely hot air from what I can see, it could quickly be taken out of their hands and turn into a hot war situation.
Okay, well, that's an important point of view, meaning anything could happen, and God knows with Putin. Okay, so we hear Obama and Kerry threatening sanctions, then offering $1 billion of our money, again, U.S. money, to Ukraine. Where are they getting the money from? That's what I want to know. Where did the $1 billion suddenly come from? Where do they get these sums from? How do they get this money?
Well, Victoria Nuland actually admitted that she had invested, the U.S. had invested $5 billion in, quote, a new form of government for the Ukraine during a press conference back in November. And, of course, then she was caught on the leaked audio tape, the phone conversation with Jeffrey Pyatt, another top U.S. diplomat, actually planning, picking the very personalities who would later take positions of power within the post-coup government. The Prime Minister...
What are they doing this for? Is it all for the oil companies? Is that what I'm hearing?
It's part of the geopolitical encirclement of Russia. It's getting the military bases, getting onto the frontier of Russia under NATO. I mean, that's been their agenda for years. They've got missiles.
Why is Russia suddenly the glint in their eye? What do they have against Russia? Russia doesn't seem to have any imperialistic tendencies, or am I mistaken here? It seems to me we're in their sphere of influence. They're not meddling in Mexican politics here. We're meddling in the equivalent of their Mexican politics.
Well, it is the equivalent of, as if, you know, Moscow had gone into Mexico and or Canada and installed an anti-U.S. government, an extremist government. So it's amazing to think of it in that context, but in terms of NATO, I mean, they've been planning this for years. That's why they've got the missile bases in Romania and Poland. So although Russia's army is currently vastly inferior to the U.S., they are engaged in a military build-up. As you said earlier with the ICBM launch, they're investing a lot of money into new and advanced weapons, while concurrently Obama seems to be dwindling the power of the U.S. military forces. But NATO basically wants a new Cold War, as far as I can see it. They want to build up the military-industrial complex. The threat of terrorism has largely abated in terms of how much they can use it for fear-mongering to build up the military-industrial complex. So they need a new threat, and they're going back to Russia and Reds under the bed.
I'm speaking with Paul Joseph Watson. You're listening to The Savage Nation. Here's another curveball that I can't figure out. Why is it that so many knee-jerk conservatives, especially in the media, I mean, we'd expect it from Wolfowitz and Pearl and the other neocons who got us into Iraq and Afghanistan. Why is it that all of these people in the media who claim to be anti-Obama, anti-New World Order, are suddenly attacking Russia and at the same time attacking Obama? Do they not understand what's going on? Why do they continuously refer on their radio shows to Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan? There's no comparison to the times of Ronald Reagan. It's a different world today.
I think they're nervous about appearing to side, for example, with protesters and pro-Russian forces in Crimea who hold aloft, you know, Lenin signs and Stalin signs, which, I mean, I am too. I bashed Putin for years and years over his activities. I mean, he's a thug, he's a tyrant. But when it comes to the fact that he's the only bulwark against this globalist expansion, this neo-imperialism, which is actually against everything that the Founding Fathers stood for, it creates confusion amongst conservatives, because on the one hand, you know, they want to side with the Founding Fathers in terms of no interference abroad, but they see people like Vladimir Putin and they see his supporters still holding up Lenin and Stalin signs, so understandably there's a nervousness about appearing to side with him. But again,
well, how can they have it both ways? They attack Obama relentlessly, as I do, and then they suddenly attack Putin. So which side are they on?
They're on their own side. It's basically the neocon Straussian faction, as you talked to Paul Craig Roberts about in one of your previous interviews. And they're calling for war. I mean, you've got ex-military generals on Fox News calling for war with Putin. And it's
Hold on. We're speaking with a very important man, Paul Joseph Watson of Prison Planet. As usual, he knows things that most people in the media don't know. And we've gone to the lengths of the earth to get you information you're not getting anywhere else on the program. And I hope you'll stay with us to continue this discussion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. KSFO.
I agree with what Angela Merkel said after she spoke to him, is that he's living in some other world. I think that either he does not have the facts, he is being fed propaganda or his own propaganda. It doesn't make any sense. There are no calls for assistance. This is not something
that... Turn off this whiny, nasally, devious, evil harridan, this lobbyist for China, this hag, this evil witch, Madeleine Albright, who destroyed Serbia in the name of the New World Order. We haven't seen this hag for years, and right just as the hedgehog comes out at a certain time, here she came again, popped up, took out time from a busy lobbying on behalf of China, and started to attack Putin. I want to go back to my guest on the Savage Nation, Paul Joseph Watson. Paul, are you there? I can't seem to get him on line 10. Paul, are you back with us?
I'm here, yeah.
Paul, what do you think of Madeleine Albright? Who is this lunatic?
Well, she's the lunatic who said that 500,000 dead Iraqi children was a price worth paying. She also said, as you just played in the clip there, that Crimea never called for assistance. Well, the Crimea's prime minister said, quote, "I appeal to the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin."
Unbelievable. Well, this woman is another one of the NWO. Paul Joseph Watson, Prison Planet on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The definition of what has happened in Kiev and in Ukraine as a whole, the definition could be only one. It is an unconstitutional coup and a military seizure of power. Nobody's arguing with that. Who's arguing with that? The people obviously want to change.
I'll tell you, that's Putin in translation. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Irrespective of what you think is happening or should happen, you must understand that the revolution in the Ukraine was a violent coup d'etat that was calculated and pre-planned by the United States under the able hands of Victoria Nuland, Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs at the United States Department of State, according to many, many sources. There were other collaborators in this coup d'etat, including all of the nations that you may expect, the UK, the US, the EU, NATO. Some are saying MI6, CIA, US Department of State, CFR, DIA, NSA. It doesn't matter. Look at the pictures. Now, all you're seeing is the propaganda of Kerry somberly laying flowers at the makeshift memorial to the victims of the coup d'etat orchestrated by Obama's State Department. But if you bother looking at the actual photos of the Western-backed groups who showed up in Kiev's Maidan Square and who orchestrated this scheme to overthrow the legitimate Ukraine government, you will see firebombs, you will see pistols, you will see thugs, you will see revolutionaries, you will see Molotov cocktails. I don't understand how you don't understand this. I don't understand how you don't know what's going on. Would you as Americans accept a band, a gang, taking over public buildings, let's say in a city, or let's pick any city. Let's not say Washington, D.C. Let's say, God forbid, New York City. What if a group of thugs, 10,000 thugs, showed up with Molotov cocktails and took over City Hall? Why? What would happen? What would you say? That's not a coup? Why, then somebody would go in and defend the city against those thugs. So you can't say that just because you hate Russia and because you don't know which side to take, that Putin is all wrong. On the other hand, you can't say that all the Ukrainians are thugs or Nazis. And as I say to you, it doesn't matter what we say. It's all hot air anyway. At the end of the day, this is just a conversation between powerless individuals called American citizens, which is good. At least we can still share our ideas, which I invite you to do. You may disagree with my analysis, that's fine. But you can't deny the fact of the matter that this was a duly elected president, whether you liked him or not, who was violently overthrown in a coup that was orchestrated by foreign powers. Now, what would you expect Putin to do? To just roll over? To take out a bicycle and go on a bicycle ride? To lick a snow cone and go surfing? He did what he had to do to protect his national interests. Now, Obama says things that are absolutely embarrassing, such as he must be looking at the wrong lawyer. I don't know what lawyers he's using. McCain comes up with more idiocy. Madeleine Albright pops up like the harridan that she is and says that Putin is living in a deranged world, that he's delusional, when she's long been delusional, as you well know. And then John Kerry bends over with the flowers at the makeshift memorial, and it goes on. The propaganda, the agitprop goes on. And so what does Putin do today, 2 hours ago? What does Putin do despite Kerry's flowers? Well, what Putin did is what you could have expected. He test-fired an ICBM. It was a blank. It was a dummy warhead. But today it successfully test-fired an ICBM. They fired an RS-12M Topol missile from the southerly Astrakhan region near the Caspian Sea, and the dummy Russian warhead hit its target at a proving ground in Kazakhstan. The state-run news agency RIA cited Defense Ministry spokesman Igor Yegorov as saying, this is happening, this is in real time. This is in real time. This is in reaction to the straw man in the White House. This is in reaction to the straw man in the State Department. This is what happened. And you may say, well, nothing's going to come of it. I hope so. I said yesterday, I closed yesterday's show. I closed Friday's show with a prayer for the children of the Ukraine, the children of Crimea, the children of Russia. I said, let us pray to God that cooler heads prevail. Let us pray that adults do not get dragged into a war, because this is happening. Not could happen, it is happening. It's, if you watch this in slow motion, they're already at war, by the way. It's a subtle war. Yesterday, I analyzed Vladimir Putin's style of judo moves. Remember I said he did the hip throw? And the next is the leg sweep. Remember I told you that? Or the reverse? I don't remember anymore. Today, I think, was a little bit of both. Did anyone expect him to test an ICBM? Right away, the propaganda machine went into overdrive on Fox News. The leg crossers, the lipstick wearers, the empty skirts on Fox News who pretend to be conservatives. Well, it was long planned. They notified Obama a long time ago about the test. It was not a surprise. Immediately, they started with the propaganda machine, the empty skirts, running back and forth to the hairspray room, the green room. The green room girls came running back. It was no surprise to the commander-in-chief. So you have a man who rides a horse named Putin. Then you have a man who rides a bicycle with a girly helmet. And you see what's going on here. It's terrible. I began the show in the last hour by reading an article from 1999 that I wrote, The Oily Tracks Running Through Kosovo. And I entitled today's show, The New World Order Versus the Old World Order. I think you can pretty much figure this out. The New World Order is under the able hands of Barack Obama, the front man for the Council on Foreign Relations, which itself is a front group for the five sister companies, the oil companies, if you want to put it in such primitive terms. There are certainly other players, such as money changers, who have made another $1 billion over the last few days through all of this turmoil. Ask me how that's legal. Ask me how it's legal for a man to bet against the European stock market and to crash the economy by stirring up a war and make $1 billion over 3 days and not be rounded up by Interpol. Ask me how it's possible, because I don't have an answer for you. I don't have an answer for you. I don't know how it's possible to turn country against country just for profit. But it's not the first time it has happened, nor will it be the last time it has happened. It's the Savage Nation. There's a lot of emotion out there. People are calling the show with all sorts of statements to make. The phone number is 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. We have a new call screener. Renee is now on the calls. Somebody walked out in the middle of the show. He got so tense for him here with all the calls. He quit in the middle of the show. He couldn't take your calls. He ran out of the station screaming, I swear to God. People are cracking up from this tension. But I'm still here. Old Uncle Mike is still here. Despite what I had last week, I'm sitting here in the hot seat. This is not easy for me. I'm trying to bring the best, let's say the best analysis I can give you to the situation without taking sides, but trying to explain to you that, for God's sakes, this is in Putin's sphere of interest, not in our sphere of interest. And in the last hour, I made this comparison. What if there was a revolution in Mexico, for example, and Russia had orchestrated this revolution in Mexico? What would we say? They have no right to meddle in our sphere of influence? Of course we'd say that. Don't you remember the Cuban Missile Crisis? Even maybe younger, you read about it. In many ways, this is a little mini Cuban Missile Crisis going on right now. And thus far, we're losing. Now, the biggest shame in this entire affair are the neocons in the radio media. I'm not going to name names. You know who they are. You know I don't like them, and they don't like me. Let's be clear. But I am shocked that every one of them, down to the last man standing, is taking the side of Obama while attacking Obama and attacking Putin, because they're knee-jerk conservatives. They have no capacity for independent thinking. They have no capacity to understand what they're even talking about. Instead, they're going on autoplay, and they're reverting to Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan. What would Ronald Reagan do? And then they peddle you a children's book with a hat with three sides on it. How can you believe a word these people say to you? Don't you understand that this is the seminal moment in the media? This war in the Ukraine right now, this tension in the Ukraine right now, is the defining moment in the media. This is a fulcrum point. Reputations are being made and reputations are being lost in the last 3 days. And I'll let you decide who you will believe from here on in. Who has given you the most detailed analysis, whether you agree with me or not? Who has given you the best historical analysis, whether you agree with me or not? And who has reverted to these animal farm-like things, animal farm-like bleeding quotes of Ronald Reagan? And you decide, going forward, who to believe and who to listen to. I'm not telling you that I'm going to be here the rest of my life for two reasons. One, because I don't know if I want to be. And number two, I don't know how long the rest of my life is going to be. That's number two. I treat every show now as though it's my last show. Do you know that? I do it for a number of reasons which I care not to share with you. It's not like I have a fatal illness, but I'm telling you how I see the days that we're living through. I treat every radio program as though it's my last. And I try to bring to it as much as I can without reverting to this Connie Barker, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan. And then at the same time attacking, how can you both attack Obama and attack Putin at the same time? How can you do that and have any credibility the next day? And then wrap yourself in the Constitution. The Constitution. Anyone can say the word Constitution. Anybody can use the word Constitution and Founding Fathers. What are we supposed to do, fall over dead in our tracks? Here we are. What do you think? 855-407-282. Neville Chamberlain's the topic. Quick call out of WMAL in Washington, D.C. Martin, thanks for calling. Fire away.
Okay, I believe that everybody condemns Neville Chamberlain wrongly. When he met with Hitler, he had nothing to fall back on. Britain wasn't armed. He couldn't challenge Hitler, and what he was trying to do was buy time.
All right, when he signed the naval agreement with Germany, I remember it very well. But, you know, you have to blame him and the Labour Party in part for Britain having no military to speak of, because they fought Winston Churchill and the Tories every step of the way while they were trying to build up in the 1930s. You know that as well.
Yes.
So, you know, it's interesting you bring up Neville Chamberlain. Obama is sort of like Neville Chamberlain. He's just cut the military as far as he dares. And just last week, don't you remember, he said he wants to cut troop levels to that of pre-World War II? Doesn't that sound a little bit like Neville Chamberlain?
How about this, which fits in with what you said? Is it possible that we're going to get another military buildup to get us out of this terrible economy that we're in?
Oh, now that's interesting, of course. Yes, there you go. There you go. Now that Al-Qaeda's on the run, they need a new boogeyman, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
The military-industrial complex at work? Well, I think maybe you want to invest in some of the defense stocks that were tumbling recently. Maybe we ought to do a whole show on which defense stocks to invest in. I'm sure they're a very good bet right now. I mean, who makes tanks? Lockheed Martin doesn't make tanks, do they? But I'm sure that they have something to do with this. Thanks for the call. I don't know any defense stocks. I don't have any money in them. But 2 weeks ago, Obama said we'll never need tanks anymore. There's never going to be another land war. Duh. And Russia moved tanks to the border of the Ukraine. How's that for a commander-in-chief? I guess the snow cones got to him. You know, there's only so much poi you can eat until eventually your brains become mush. 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. When I come back, it's your turn right here on the program. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
On this whole area of transportation, it's very, very good. And they're looking at tax reform. Which is certainly one way to make sure we have the funding for 6 years. I'm going to be very honest with you, although you probably asked me this. I don't see support for raising the gas tax, and there is absolutely no way we're going to cut spending. So it's going to have to be a creative way.
That's Barbara Boxer, the handmaiden of the seat, saying there'll be no cutting of spending. Obviously, she's got her fangs into the rail projects. If you follow the money, you'll find out, no doubt, that the fangs of lust and greed are all over the rail project in ways you could never follow. You know, when I hear about corruption in Russia, when I hear about corruption in the Ukraine, I laugh. Are these people deaf, dumb, and blind? You mean this country doesn't have corruption? With
with Haradins like Boxer and Feinstein in power for so long, and their connections to so many projects that make no sense whatsoever, like Railroads to Nowhere. We have no corruption in this country. Let's go back to the callers on the Savage Nation. The time is 26 minutes after the hour. Let's go to Colorado. Anthony, you're up. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
I had called in to debate one of the War Party conservatives that you were referring to, one of the radio talking heads, in an attempt to show him, or in an attempt to have him show me where our international interest in Ukraine actually is. And to have him actually compare this to what we did in Cuba, Syria, and Egypt. But instead of debating, he basically just called me a Democrat, said, you're the type of person who votes for Obama. And that was...
You mean he immediately made you an Obama supporter because he couldn't answer your argument?
Yes, sir.
Did he then immediately sell you a children's book and tell you he was the greatest broadcaster in human history?
Maybe. But
it's just, to me, the seminal moment in talk radio, Anthony. I don't believe people understand what's going on in terms of the history of the media right now. This is the turning point. I think people like you are actually listening to what's going on, hearing what's going on, and discerning what's going on, and you're starting to tell, let's say, the wheat from the chaff, the boys from the men.
Yes, sir. And
okay. We used to have a phrase in Queens College when I was an undergrad, when we went into courses that were really tough. They said, this course will set apart the boys from the men. And I'm telling you, this course of history right now is going to set apart the boys from the men in talk radio. That's what I see going on. And I have no intent to lean harm upon others, but I will tell you, I'm embarrassed to listen to some of them.
And what I want is a children's book written about George Washington and entangling alliances when our sons bleed on foreign soil for foreign interests.
Well, how can these neocon talk show hosts who constantly refrain to the Founding Fathers and Ronald Reagan, how can they have it both ways? How can they attack Obama mercilessly every day and now attack Putin? Which side are they on? Is he suddenly going to appear in Kiev with a three-parted hat and a children's book leading a parade?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
There are challenges. I regret to say that Russia, in some of the challenges we're seeing right now in Ukraine, has put pressure on Moldova. There are challenges with respect to their energy sources.
He's just the front man for the New World Order. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. People are saying the Ukraine is being stitched up to bring the citizens of Ukraine into the fold of the Fourth European Reich. Debt bonded slavery. Those are harsh words. They're way over the head of the Ronald Reaganites. They don't quite get it. But you see, it's not Darth Vader and the Dark Empire. Not at all. There's a lot more to it than meets the average eye. Putin says it's an unconstitutional coup. Many people agree with him. And it was orchestrated by Britain, the United States, and the EU in order to basically bring the gas fields, the fracking fields into the fold of Europe to break Russia's monopoly on gas, which is a very good strategy in some ways when you think about it. I mean, if you were the European Union and Russia, which is the PG&E of Europe, was supplying you with gas, and if you knew at any moment they could turn it off and your pawn shops would go cold, and you were in Brussels, what would you do? If you're one of the New World Order leaders in Brussels, and it's a very cold winter, and you realize Putin could turn off the tap, and your pawn shops would go ice cold, and your sex stores would go bad, and your internet porn would go down. I mean, what would you do if your energy source was threatened? You'd also try to frack as quickly as you could the fields with shale in Poland and Romania as quickly as possible to break his monopoly. So it's a game of, you know what, it's not spy versus spy, it's oligarch versus oligarch, it's not our business, I don't know what we're doing there. I don't know why we're involved. That's the main thing. What does it have to do with us? I am concerned about 30 million illegal aliens in America who don't belong here. That's all. How about my sovereignty, the sovereignty of my nation? How about my borders, language, and culture? What are they so concerned about flowers in the Ukraine for the fallen? Why didn't Kerry go with that false, somber, funereal face to the gravesite of the Border Patrol agents who were killed in the wars, the border wars? Maybe that would be a good starter. Maybe you ought to go there. Maybe you should go to the cemeteries where the SEALs are buried, who died for no reason in that helicopter crash. They were sacrificed because of someone's big mouth or a sacrificial lambs. Maybe that would be an appropriate place for John Kerry to put flowers. But I don't understand what he's doing there. He certainly doesn't represent American interests. What does he? Where are America's interests? Let's clear the air. Let's clear the air now, okay? We're going to clear the air. We're going to stop all of the hot air on the Savage Nation. Can anyone listening to this show tell me where America's interests lie in this Ukrainian affair? Tell me. I'll open a line up to that. KSFO Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Fire away. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage, and I'd like to thank you for what you're doing. I have heard no one speak of what possible influence that Snowden has given the Russians as far as insight to the responses that are coming from.
Influence this?
It would probably give possible insight to the reactions of our military and intelligence communities and what possible responses they would give.
Well, okay, having said that, where do you think this is going, given that Russia fired an ICBM today?
Doctor, I wish I could give you the answer to that. I really don't know. I'm not privy to the information. I don't have your education to see these things. That's why.
Well, let me start with this. My education is not in politics. It's just that I read politics 12 to 18 hours a day, so anyone can have that education. You can educate yourself today. You don't need a higher degree to see what's going on. You just need to study in it, which is what I do. This is not my field of learning. But the truth is that the skills that I learned in achieving my doctorate are used in analyzing politics. That's what I want to reiterate that. It's very important that you understand that if you have a scholarly background and you've earned a real PhD from a great university, you've learned certain skills in analysis, and you can apply it to many other fields. It doesn't make you a world expert, but if you have a reasonably good brain and you know how to look at things, you can come up with fairly rational conclusions. It's that simple. But on the other hand, if you haven't learned how to think and you haven't learned how to analyze and you don't know what Aristotelian logic is, you'll be over your head no matter what you're doing. Now let's take another call. Vitaly on WABC. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hey, sir. I really appreciate your analysis. I think you're the only radio talk show host in America whose analysis quite different. It seems like, I mean, I was born in Ukraine. I lived there 25 years of my life, and I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm in the military right now. But I'm spot on with you. You're very spot on the assessment. So here are the facts, and you're correct. You were the first one to catch this. Yanukovych is a legitimately elected president. Not only that, he was ousted. Even though he was ousted, he still retains the power as a legitimate president. Not only that, as a legitimate president, he has a legitimate power to request military aid from Russia. So Russia is really not doing anything illegal from that perspective. And,
yes, from the point of view of international law, Russia is not doing anything illegal. It's the United States machinating behind the scenes that's doing the illegal activity.
Absolutely, sir. Not only that, I want to know how come our American government is not paying attention to who these newly elected officials are in the Ukrainian government. Are they monitoring? They want to give millions of our taxpayers' money as aid.
You mean $1 billion today Obama promised? Where he's getting the money from, nobody knows, since we're a basket case and we're broke. Where's the $1 billion coming from?
Exactly. Knowing that the Ukrainian government is notorious for stealing, thieving, I want to know, is there going to be any accountability? Is anyone going to keep track?
Oh, boy, you asked a question. You know the answer is built into your question, Vitaly. Vitaly, more fortunes will be made from this Ukrainian crisis than we could ever imagine. I thank you for listening so intently. 855-400-728 to give me 15 minutes, and I will give you America. So the big news today is that Obama gave a speech about lawyers. You have to hear this, which is crazy. You got to listen to clip one and listen to how detached Obama is from the situation. I want you to hear this, and you determine if you think this is the statement of a leader or a man attached to reality. Listen to clip one.
There have been some reports that President Putin is pausing for a moment and reflecting on what's happened. I think that we've all seen that from the perspective of the European Union, the United States, allies like Canada and Japan, and allies and friends and partners around the world, there is a strong belief that Russia's action is violating international law. I know President Putin seems to have a different set of lawyers making a different set of interpretations.
Listen to that. Listen to that carefully. He has a different set of lawyers making a different set of interpretations. That's very chilling. Suddenly, he's like a shyster in an ambulance casing chase, giving a final argument before a jury. The jury is the world saying that, well, your lawyers may see it differently than our lawyers, but what is he crazy? I mean, what's his position? Why is he so in the middle? That's the part that bothers me. I'm starting to wonder which side Obama's really on here. Is there sort of a game going on that we don't know about? Is there possibly a little game that we don't know about here, a third-way game that we don't know about? Do you think that Obama and Putin are actually on the same side? Is that possible? Sue on WBAP. Sue, I know that you've been waiting for this moment. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, I was just wondering if people recalled when Obama thought his microphone was off that he whispered to Putin, just wait until I'm reelected. Does that not sound like they're in everything together?
I don't know. Somebody's going to make billions of dollars from this crisis. I know that the money changer who sold the European stock short 10 days ago probably made over $1 billion already, and he's laughing all the way to the greedy bank that he runs. So who else is going to make billions?
Well, you just think who's all going to be involved in we've got to go save them. All of these people that have stock in these companies, as you said.
Well, let's start with money now for a moment. The Ukraine crisis means drilling. Drilling, drilling, drilling. And by the way, this is going to further spur the American drilling boom, incidentally. As you know right now, there's a drilling boom going on in the United States, which is amazing. And if we had a rational president, he would have approved the Keystone XL pipeline a long time ago. We also should understand that Mexico has one of the largest proven oil reserves in the world. And it would make sense to me that we should demand reparations from Mexico for the great social costs of the illegal aliens who have killed our hospitals and schools for the last 20 years. I mean, if I were president, I would say in a nice way to Mexico, we've taken care of your poor, and you're uneducated and you're unmedicated for 20 years. The tab is $1 trillion. We want it in oil. I mean, Mexico's producing 3 million barrels per day, right? 3 billion barrels per day. Not one barrel is given to us in reparations. Why are we not asking Mexico for reparations of oil? It's a separate subject, I realize that. But nevertheless, I believe that Putin's humiliation of Obama in grabbing the Crimea is going to be something that Obama will not overcome too readily. And I also believe that this is going to spur drilling here in the United States and fracking here in the United States. I also believe that this could force the approval of the Keystone XL pipeline, and I believe that that will force Canada to increase production by several million barrels per day very shortly. And I also know from reading that the United States will no doubt in your lifetime, if you're a younger person and not too far in the future, soon be a net oil exporter. You know, in the 1950s, the United States had the world's largest oil reserves and was an oil exporter, as you well know. Well, everything changed, 35 cent a gallon gas and all of that. And then suddenly we were put over the barrel by the oil sheiks. Wouldn't it be a wonderful day to see them pounding sand? What if you could live long enough to see all of those arrogant sheiks in the Persian Gulf pounding sand and coming around begging for money when suddenly the shale underneath our own soil is producing the energy that we need and they don't know where to sell the excess? Wouldn't that be a wonderful day?
Gee, think of all of the Gulfstreams that'll be for sale and all of the houses in Zurich and Los Angeles. Think of that day, because you're facing a new world order, and it's all about the money. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I think the public has the impression that, because there's been so much talk about climate, that events of the last 10 years from an insured standpoint in climate have been unusual. The answer is they haven't. I mean, it hasn't been true so far.
All right. Well, thank you.
I mean,
that's, you know, Warren Buffett confirming what all intelligent people know to be true, that there is no climate change. And for him to say it is very interesting at this time, given that he transports Canadian crude on his railway lines, Burlington Northern, and he's one of the, I think, chief opponents of the Keystone XL pipeline. It's very interesting that he'd make that statement, but I don't know that the statements are disconnected or interconnected, but it's interesting to me that he's just taken the wind out of the sails of the warmists, the people in the warming industry. This is the Savage Nation. Again, if you missed my great article, it's on michaelsavage.com. The hot news is that Russia has test-fired an ICBM, and you could say, well, what does that mean? I don't know what it means. It's not good. You remember the liberal adage, war is unhealthy for children and other living things? Well, your leader, Obama, has so bungled the situation, they forced Russia into test-firing an ICBM over the Ukraine situation. He is so mismanaged and mangled. World affairs, whether it be the Arab Crescent, which is in turmoil, Syria, which is in turmoil, attacking Israel, whatever he's touched, he's turned to hell. And now, things are bad. Russia successfully test-fired an ICBM today. I realize it's not as big a story as the Oscars. I recognize that Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg would rather have simulated a test firing. And unfortunately for them, reality sometimes interferes with fantasy. And sometimes art doesn't imitate life. Sometimes life imitates life. And I realize that even Spielberg can't control what Putin does. And that must be very upsetting to the czars of Hollywood. It must be very, very upsetting indeed that a man has more power than they do. At the end of the day, Mao Zedong was right when he said that power comes out of the barrel of a gun. And that's unfortunately true. And we're living in a tinderbox world right now that suddenly blew up in Obama's face. We have been telling you he's incompetent. We've been telling you that he's not up to the task. We've been telling you he's a front man. You didn't want to believe me. What do you believe now? Who are you going to blame for this, Nixon? Who are you going to blame for this situation now? George Bush? Mitt Romney? Who are you blaming for the situation, all of you good liberals who've had your head in the sand all of these years? Who can you blame now? Well, you can blame yourself to begin with for believing that the situation would suddenly be under control because all the school moms, the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, were in control or seemed to be in control, and all you had to worry about was homophobia and illegal immigration. That was the only two items on your whole plate. Okay, Ellen DeGeneres, that's it. The new leader of the New World Order, Ellen DeGeneres, and what she stands for. That's all that was on your mind. That's all that was on your mind. Well, it's not what's on the mind of people who run the world. Maybe on your mind, but there are bigger issues than a person's sexuality. As far as I'm concerned, I'm a sexual libertarian. As Rabelais taught me when I was an undergraduate, faites que voudra, just leave the children the hell alone. Don't touch the children. Leave your hands off the kids. But stop lecturing me about your sexuality. I'm sick of it. Let's talk about reality, not sexuality. Let's talk about ICBMs. Not sex shops.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey, welcome to hour number three of the Savage Nation for today. It's March 4th, 2014. And listen, you may not know what's going on in the Ukraine. You may know some of it. You may know a little bit of it. But Obama can't fool all of the people all of the time, and neither can Kerry. That staged propaganda photo of Kerry putting flowers on the graves of the martyrs who caused the revolution was so right out of the ex-Soviet Union it shocked me. There's another side to the story, a few other sides. There are many sides, because the Ukraine is not a single entity any more than America is a single entity. Ukraine nationalists wear Beat the Yid T-shirts. Did you hear that? Amid fears that Ukraine's Jews will be targeted, there they came. The Ukrainian neo-Nazis are out there again. You won't see any of this. You'll see this. U.S. worries Russia plotting wider invasion of Ukraine, says Fox News, says the Limbaugh cartel. All the neocons have lined up against Russia. Russia is now the enemy. All over again, it's Ronald Reagan versus the evil empire. I cannot believe how knee-jerk these conservatives are. It's far more complicated than that, by the way, and it's in the news. But let me go back to the main one. The Jewish people are certainly not the most important population in Ukraine, but they've always been the canaries in the coal mine of anti-Semitism in Europe. And there we go again. Ukraine nationalists are wearing Beat the Yid T-shirts. I have the picture up on my website. It's right there. Go look at it. I guess you don't read Ukrainian. You only read Obama-in. Well, if you read Obama-in, you'll be as stupid as they are to believe a word of it. There they are, Beat the Yids T-shirts. Europe. Europe today. You don't want to hear it, but okay, be on the wrong side of history all over again. Putin said he's not going to use force. It's his last resort. But he's ignoring threats from the West, right? Russia is warning that if the U.S. tries to screw with their economy, they can abandon the dollar and crash our dollar. Okay, so they have a few cards to play as well. Did you hear? Russia warns they could reduce to zero their economic dependency on the USA. You know what that means? Crush the dollar. Break the dollar. The winner here would be none other than Soros, in my opinion. They're saying if Washington agrees to sanction Moscow over Ukraine, they could crash our economic system. And believe me, I'm not so sure that they're lying. I'm not so sure they're lying. Also, it's all about gas. It's all about nationalism. It's all about lies. It's all about propaganda. And there are other topics as well. Even Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, as liberal as he is, says that the supposed increase in extreme weather hasn't been true so far. Did you hear this? He told CNBC yesterday that extreme weather events haven't increased due to climate change, saying that weather events are consistent with how they were 30 to 50 years ago. I've been saying that. Others have been saying that. But now that Warren Buffett has said it, I wonder why he's saying it now. Has anything to do with transporting oil on his railroad cars from Canada? Well, we'll have to wait and see. The phone number is 855-472-8282, 855-472-SAVAGE. Again, if you missed my seminal article of yesterday, you need not miss it. It's on michaelsavage.com, where I said that Putin crossed Obama's pink line. It doesn't mean I'm in love with Putin or I think that Russia's 100% right, but it's in their sphere of interest. It's not in our sphere of interest. And the warmongers have to stop. McCain should be arrested. He runs his mouth. I believe in free speech, but this man is not just a talk show host. John McCain is a U.S. senator. He started this whole ball rolling in December when he went over there and stirred up the masses to overthrow a legitimately elected president of the Ukraine. If there was an anti-Nobel Peace Prize, meaning a war prize, McCain should get it. 855-400-7282. Putin says no immediate need to invade eastern Ukraine leaves that threat dangling. Dangling, huh? You know, I've seen agitprop in my life, and I've seen propaganda in my life. John Kerry leaning over a makeshift memorial to the fallen victims of the protests in the Ukraine with stacks of flowers and burnt-out tires was on the grand list of agitprop. It was right out of Animal Farm. John Kerry ought to go and put a memorial to the Border Patrol agents who've been killed by Mexican invaders. The U.S. government ought to put our troops on the border with Mexico because we're being invaded, our borders crushed, and our sovereignty destroyed by the New World Order under John Kerry and Barack Obama. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about Ukraine. I could give a rat's behind about Ukraine. all of a sudden, all the people who busted our borders and destroyed our borders, language, and culture are telling me, oh, we must respect the territorial integrity of the Ukraine. We must respect the borders of the Ukraine. Why don't you start at home, John? Why don't you start at home, John, and just admit that you're working for the oil oligarchs, John? In 1999, I wrote an article called The Oily Tracks Running Through Kosovo, which you must hear. It's an archival piece that belongs in a hall of fame somewhere, because what went on in Kosovo under Clinton is being repeated now in the Ukraine. I'll read this to you. You tell me what you think. The Oily Tracks Running Through Kosovo, November 30th, 1999, by Michael Savage. Kosovo was about oil and nothing but oil, with maybe some uranium thrown in and a dash of Wag the Dog, and you thought it was to save the poor Kosovar Albanians. Of all the ethnically cleansed peoples around the world, some numbering in the millions, the beneficent powers of NATO decided to draw the line with the Kosovar Albanians. About 2,000 of the ethnic Albanians had been reportedly killed by Serbs in the preceding years, so it was time for the humanitarian guard to take action. No matter that about as many Serbs have been killed by the Albanians, and that Kosovo is a part of the sovereign state of Yugoslavia, and that this conflict had been ongoing for centuries. Big oil required a pipeline through Kosovo, and the poor Serbs just happened to own the wrong real estate at the wrong time. How do I know that the Kosovo action was about oil, or to be exact, about establishing a safe haven for an oil pipeline? Remember when I wrote this in 1999? When some were still putting up wallboard, when others were still acting as lawyers inside the bowels of the government, I wrote this. I wrote that just recently, Bill Clinton signed an historic agreement with Azerbaijan on this very matter. Azerbaijan is one of the former Soviet republics that became a separate country with the breakup of the USSR. Formerly, Caspian oil would have come into the world market as a Soviet export, but not anymore. It now comes under the flag of this newly independent nation via Turkey, where it is transshipped by way of Turkish seaports, and Russia has been deftly unlinked from the world oil market. Pay attention to this very carefully, please. Learn something. Learn something. Stop thinking in sound bites. Now, keen interest in Azerbaijani oil is nothing new. The Germans have had a compelling interest in this oil going back to 1905, and extending through the two world wars up to and including the present. One of Hitler's primary goals in his push to the east was to capture the Azerbaijani oil fields. But where the Kaiser and Nazi Germany failed, it seems the New World Order featuring Bill Clinton, Tony Blair, and other socialists is going to succeed. Remember, 1999, and see what I'm get where I'm going here. The plan is now to route the oil in a way that will fulfill Germany's long-sought-after objective. Here is how the oil is going to run. It starts from the oil fields of Baku, Azerbaijan's capital of the Caspian Sea. It is piped from there across Azerbaijan and Georgia through Turkey. But the plan of Bill Clinton and the rest of the present-day Neue Ordnung is now to have it piped from Turkey directly through Bulgaria. I won't read the details of the pipeline. I'll just skip to the chase. But before reaching the Danube and the Adriatic, as you probably guessed, the pipeline must first go from Bulgaria through Yugoslavia and Kosovo. Slobodan Milosevic, however, has had other plans for oil shipment through his country that are more to his liking, and Russia's. Pay attention to what I just said, and Russia's. And Milosevic was unwilling to cooperate with this scenario. The NATO socialists were attacking Russia by proxy in stealing Kosovo from Serbia. Let me pause right there. The NATO socialists attacked Russia by proxy when they stole Kosovo, Serbia. Russia knew it then, and Russia sees it happening all over again. Does this begin to make sense to you? Does this make sense to you? During the shameful and cowardly NATO bombing of the historic bridges across the Danube River, the mouthpieces of the government media complex ceaselessly propagandized Madeleine Albright, Jamie Rubin, Jamie Shea, the English soccer thug, Madeleine Halfbright's stooge, Jamie Rubin, the husband of that Mata Hari on CNN, whose name I forget, with the false British accent. Solana, the Spanish socialist. An unnamed Luftwaffe general. And others continued the big lie. They were bombing Serbian civilians, hospitals, schools, trains, power plants, apartments, orphanages, to save Albanians, they said. Yeah, they were also destroying Kosovo to save it. These international war criminals were led by General Wesley Clark, a Rhodes Scholar from Arkansas, who clicked his shiny heels for the commander in grief, Bill Clinton, another Rhodes Scholar from Arkansas. But the greatest shame must fall upon the tendentious media hacks, including Fox News, I said at the time, and most columnists of the neo-right all fell in line, just as they are doing today, ladies and gentlemen. The Limbaugh cartel is no different. They've all taken the side of Obama while attacking Obama. They said at the time that the criminal bombing of Serbia was just. They said it was to save the innocent ethnic Albanians from the evil non-ethnic Serbs. Have you now heard one of these hacks apologize or admit they were duped? Used by Big Oil to apologize for, to justify NATO war crimes? Well, I can go on. Did you know that more than 25,000 Greek citizens rioted over this, and they were underreported in number? They rioted against what they did to the Serbs. And so let me conclude. This was written in 1999. It's one more paragraph. You'll see where I'm going. With the NATO presence in Kosovo, the way is now clear for the pipeline and for the ethnic Albanians to ethnically cleanse the province, to make the world safe for Big Oil's Trans-Kosovo pipeline. 1999, the oily tracks run through Kosovo. Today's show is entitled The New World Order versus the Old World Order. If you've got a comment to make, we're open for business. Give me 15 minutes and I'll give you America. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation is presented by Swiss America at 800-BUY-COIN, the only gold company Michael Savage trusts.
Now, strangely enough, or to me not so strangely enough, one of the most evil people on the planet, Madeleine Albright, popped up on Saturday morning to talk about this mess, taking time out from her lobbying on behalf of companies in China. This is the woman who bombed Serbia, committing war crime after war crime in the minds of millions of Europeans who knew it at the time. This is the woman who was the architect of the stealing of Kosovo from the Serbs. This is a woman who, no doubt, as I said to you on Friday, along with Brzezinski, were the architects of this entire event going on in the Ukraine. I want you to listen to clip one. Here is Mad Albright.
I think what is important is to realize that the Russians, in many ways, might be buying something that will cause them incredible internal problems with the variety of ethnic groups that are in Crimea and are, in effect, some of the issues in Dagestan and various places. So I think that Putin may have deeply miscalculated.
So he's afraid of the Yenta, famous for her brisket in Washington, D.C. Putin heard that in translation and started to shake in his judo clothing, because the Yenta, who was famous for a bad brisket, told him that he miscalculated in the Crimea. Is she implying that America will stir up the Muslims in the Crimea? Is she implying that the United States, along with other forces, will once again meddle in someone else's internal affairs? I think so. That's what she's famous for. I want to be very clear. The Ukrainian people have a right to free themselves from the basic colonial power of Russia, the same way the United States did King George III. But it's not our business. That's what I'm trying to say. I want people to understand where I'm coming from. If the Ukrainian, if the nation of Ukraine, which to me is different than the Crimea, for reasons that I've described since Friday, if the Ukrainian people decide to free themselves and liberate themselves from the colonial power of Russia, if you want to put it that way, well, let them go to war with Russia the way the colonists did. But it's their fight, not ours. Don't you agree with that? 855-400-7282. What should Obama do about the Ukraine? I will go back to my article. Obama hasn't gotten a clue, hasn't got a clue about what the conflict in the Ukraine means. Nuland and Rice, two of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, who seem to make so many critical decisions for this administration, told him to blame Putin, so that is what he did. Now, let me go back to the beginning. Do you understand that the man who was overthrown was a duly elected president of the Ukraine? Yes or no? Start with that. Do you believe in elections or don't you believe in elections? I thought America believed in elections. Well, there was a legitimately elected president. And then what happened? During the Olympics, when Putin was trying to present a face of peace,
John McCain, that warmongering piece of garbage, had the gall to go to the Ukraine during December, knowing that Putin could not react, and stir up the masses against the duly elected president. And McCain did not go over there on his own. McCain went over there because he was told to do so by Nuland in the State Department and by Obama's minions. They wanted to overthrow the duly elected president of the Ukraine so they could steal the Ukraine from the people themselves and make it a satellite of the corrupt European Union. Do you think that it would be paradise if the Ukraine suddenly joined the EU? Let's put Russia aside for a moment. Let's play it out the other way. Is the European Union the panacea that the Ukrainian people need? The EU is broke. The EU has no money to give the Ukrainian people. In fact, Putin himself offered them $15 billion if they wouldn't break away. And the minute they broke away, he said, I'm not giving you the $15 billion. Has the EU come along and said, we'll give you the $15 billion? The EU has said nothing. The plutocrats in Belgium have nothing to offer the Ukrainian people. So now let me go back to my main point, which is a fulcrum of the entire discussion. The Ukrainian people have a right to self-determination. I've said that. Don't accuse me of something I haven't said. I didn't say they should sell out to Putin and give themselves over to Russia. If the Ukrainian people want a civil war and they want to fight Russia at the same time, because that's what it's going to take, since the country's so divided, they're going to have to fight two wars at once, both a civil war and then a war against the oppressive Russians. Tell me how that war ends. I can tell you right now, before one shot is fired, it ends in a disaster for everyone. Yes, of course, I understand. Some men would rather fight and die than live as slaves. I get that. I understand the history of my own nation. I understand the history of my own people. I understand the history of my own life growing up in New York City. It was kill or be killed in that sense. It was survival of the fittest.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I think the strong condemnation that it's received from countries around the world indicates the degree to which Russia's on the wrong side of history on this. If, in fact, they continue on the current trajectory that they're on, that we are examining a whole series of steps, economic, diplomatic, that will isolate Russia.
Are you kidding? This is crazy. Have you ever heard anything as tepid in your life from a world leader? He sounds like the academic Marxist that he is. They will isolate Russia? How? Russia has all the cards. What do you mean, isolate Russia from whom? What does that mean? They're not going to be able to go to Europe and go to an opera? What are they going to do to you? What are they going to do to Russia? I want to know what they mean by isolate Russia. What does that mean? What does that mean by isolate Russia? Explain what that means to me. Obama painted himself into this corner. He can't get out of it. There's no way out of this corner. None whatsoever. He did this. His weakness invited this. On the other hand, I don't believe we have a place in this battle. And, of course, Obama doesn't agree with me because he doesn't give a damn what anyone thinks except what the controllers tell him what to do. Obama says Russia is on the wrong side of history in Ukraine. I believe Obama's been on the wrong side of history ever since he became a U.S. senator. And I believe that we need to be bailed out by a foreign nation to save us from this administration. I wish that there was a foreign power that could come here and save us from what he's doing to this nation. But that's a separate story. We have absolutely no business being there. And for these warmongers, like, do I have to name them all? I'm not going to name them all. You know that McCain is the worst. There was an anti-Nobel Prize. McCain should win it hands down. He's like a relic, like a B-29 bomber with parts falling off. It's still flying in the sky. The fenders are falling off a B-29. That's what he looks like to me. And he doesn't shut up, and wherever you go, there he is, running around every channel, can't get enough of the spotlight. This is his moment, beating the war drums before AIPAC, telling the Israeli lobby what they wanted to hear, that we need more foreign intervention, we need a more muscular intervention against Russia, and AIPAC, like morons, cheered him on, not knowing what they were doing. Russia is the PG&E of Europe. Do you want them to close the gas off and have everyone to freeze to death? Because they can do that. What should Obama be doing about the Ukraine? I want to go back to my article on michaelsavage.com.
Putin crosses Obama's pink line because it's as fresh as it was when I wrote it over the weekend. And I will not read the entire thing to you again because you can read it yourself. In addition to deploying military assets in Crimea, Putin has contacted his allies in at least 8 other strategically located countries to assure that Russia has access to those countries' military facilities. You didn't know that. So Putin's forces can extend their long-range naval and strategic bomber capabilities. In other words, the U.S. interference in Ukrainian politics has resulted in Putin expanding his military influence, while at the same time, Barack Obama is bent on shrinking our own military to pre-World War II levels. Once again, the incompetent, uninformed, and uninvolved president of the U.S. has drawn a pink line in the sand. Obama doesn't know whose side he's on. He didn't even bother to attend the meeting of his national security advisor on Friday afternoon as the Ukrainian conflict was escalating and Putin was deploying his military. The new guessing game in Washington, D.C. is not where's Waldo, it's where's Barry. They took the trouble to Photoshop Obama into pictures of national security meetings during the Benghazi crisis. In this case, they're not even bothering to pretend he's in charge. Obama hasn't got a clue about what the conflict in the Ukraine really means for us. Nuland and Rice, two of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse, who seem to make so many critical decisions of this administration, told him to blame Putin, so that is what he did. I end my article as such. The greatest hypocrisy here comes from those who call for open borders with Mexico and amnesty for 30 million illegal aliens who are violating our territorial integrity. These people, Lindsey Graham, John McCain, Dick Durbin, and the others, who have destroyed our borders with Mexico, are telling us that the world should respect Ukraine's borders and their national sovereignty. Think about the irony of that situation. Is there anyone else in the electronic media who has said that? If there is, I'd like to know who it is. No one said it but me. Is there anyone else in the electronic media or the print media who has said that? No. Again, the phone number is 855-400-7282. We're all focused on the Ukraine. It's a new flashpoint, obviously. And as I say, I've been up researching and writing on this, trying to come to the show with some information that maybe you didn't have and some viewpoints. And many of you hate me for this. Some people are accusing me of this and of that. I'm an independent thinker, so pardon me for thinking. But this is where my mind goes. But, you know, there's an element to this that we haven't discussed yet, which is that as much as there is nationalism and militarism involved, there is a simple old trade war involved. You see, as you well know, Russia is the PG&E of Europe, as I said earlier. And right now, Gazprom, which is the Russian-controlled natural gas giant, Gazprom, they've just threatened to disrupt gas supplies to Europe in response to John Kerry's blustering. So the West says we're going to impose harsh economic sanctions on Moscow. And Moscow says, I'll tell you what, we'll turn the gas off to the Ukraine and to Europe. Now, that's not the whole story, because as that is going on, where Russia has this monopoly on gas, you may not understand that there's a huge amount of fracking going on in Eastern Europe. Chevron, for example, has been very active in the Western Ukraine, in Romania, and in Poland in the last 2 years, developing gas fields in these regions through shale. So Western Ukraine, Poland, Romania, and the EU have tremendous financial interests in to develop their own independent energy sources and break the Russian monopoly over energy. Right? And Russia, naturally, on the other side, wants to control the monopoly and their assets in eastern Ukraine and Crimea. So the U.S. right now, the five sister oil companies, including U.S.-based companies, are fighting Moscow's Gazprom right now. There's a war of monopolies going on. And that's a subtext to all of this. It's not as clear as a territorial imperative or a nationalist imperative or a military imperative or a naval assets. It's an energy war at the bottom of it to a certain extent. And that's going to play out in ways we can't even imagine. Well, we can imagine in ways that we can't predict, because if they should continue to develop the shale in Poland, in Hungary, Romania, Moldova, why then Russia loses its monopoly and the ball game is over. So that's going on as well. That's why I think Putin might take all of Ukraine, by the way. In other words, I didn't say he should. I didn't say that I want him to. But I'm telling you, if you're a strategist and a judo player, and you say that they're trying to break my monopoly on gas, and I have this swath of territory that's sitting there undefended, I think I'll take it now, so I'll own the shale. And the U.S. oil companies can't grab the shale out from underneath the Ukraine, I'll take it. That could happen. Listen, it's all about money. War is always about money. It's always about power and money. As you know, Putin is a judo expert. He's a black belt. Don't underestimate what I just said to you, because any practitioner of martial arts will tell you they use the psychology of their martial art in their daily life. And so a world leader who's a black belt in judo is someone not to be dismissed. How did he become a black belt in judo and why? Well, if you read Putin's biography, he was a street fighter. He was a nationalist street fighter, a tough guy, and he grew up as a short guy, by the way. He was a short guy in the back streets of Leningrad, and he loved to fight. He taught himself to bite, to tear hair. He taught himself to brawl, and he remains proud of his youthful violence. In fact, it's reported that he often picked fights in the street as a young KGB officer. Now compare him to our dear leader, who attacks grandmothers whose politics he disagrees with. So, what do we gain by looking at the judo moves? Not that much. I'm not a judo expert by any means. I'm not even a martial artist. I'm just an analyst. But in my reading, I found out that his judo moves are based upon a movement called Harigoshi. Pardon my bad Japanese. They say it's a move that combines a hip throw and a leg sweep. And what was that about? Well, the invasion of the Crimea was the hip throw. Tomorrow you'll see the leg sweep. The move originated as a way to prevent your opponent's sidestepping escape before pounding them down onto the floor. Right now, he has neutralized Obama, okay? And he can't escape. Tomorrow he'll pound him into the floor. And I believe this is going to happen sooner rather than later. I don't believe that he's going to limit it to the Crimea. I'll go out on a limb and say we all think that the Crimea will be the limitations of the Russian aggression, if you want to put it that way. I don't. I think that was stage one. And he found out that he could take it over without firing so much. He didn't expend a bullet. And the ancient martial arts, I think the Japanese wrote, that the mark of the greatest warrior is he who does not even unsheath his sword. I'll never forget that. And so without unsheathing a sword, he's taken over a huge piece of land. So what's to stop him from taking over the next big piece of land? He could say, well, I'm not taking the Ukraine. I'm only protecting the Russian-speaking populations of the eastern Ukraine who need our protection from the others. And he'll see what happens then. And if nothing happens then, he'll take the center part of the Ukraine. The next, he'll take the whole of the Ukraine. And there we go, my friends. And before long, he'll take Poland and Hungary. And God knows we might see the reemergence of the ex-Soviet Union right in front of our eyes, owing to Obama's weakness, miscalculation, and meanness of spirit. That's one man's opinion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The definition of what has happened in Kiev and in Ukraine as a whole, the definition could be only one. It is an unconstitutional coup and a military seizure of power. Nobody's arguing with that. Who's arguing with that? The people, well, obviously.
I'll tell you, that's Putin in translation. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Irrespective of what you think is happening or should happen, you must understand that the revolution in the Ukraine was a violent coup d'etat that was calculated and pre-planned by the United States under the able hands of Victoria Nuland, Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs at the United States Department of State, according to many, many sources. There were other collaborators in this coup d'etat, including all of the nations that you may expect, the UK, the US, the EU, NATO. Some are saying MI6, CIA, US Department of State, CFR, DIA, NSA. It doesn't matter. Look at the pictures. Now, all you're seeing is the propaganda of Kerry somberly laying flowers at the makeshift memorial to the victims of the coup d'etat orchestrated by Obama's State Department. But if you bother looking at the actual photos of the Western-backed groups who showed up in Kiev's Maidan Square and who orchestrated this scheme to overthrow the legitimate Ukraine government, you will see firebombs, you will see pistols, you will see thugs, you will see revolutionaries, you will see Molotov cocktails. I don't understand how you don't understand this. I don't understand how you don't know what's going on. Would you as Americans accept a gang taking over public buildings, let's say, in a city, or let's pick any city. Let's not say Washington, D.C. Let's say, God forbid, New York City. What if a group of thugs, 10,000 thugs, showed up with Molotov cocktails and took over City Hall? Why? What would happen? What would we say? That's not a coup? Why, then somebody would go in and defend the city against those thugs. So you can't say that just because you hate Russia and because you don't know which side to take, that Putin is all wrong. On the other hand, you can't say that all the Ukrainians are thugs or Nazis. And as I say to you, it doesn't matter what we say. It's all hot air anyway. At the end of the day, this is just a conversation between powerless individuals called American citizens, which is good. At least we can still share our ideas, which I invite you to do. You may disagree with my analysis. That's fine. But you can't deny the fact of the matter that this was a duly elected president, whether you liked him or not, who was violently overthrown in a coup that was orchestrated by foreign powers. Well, as we come to the conclusion of hour number three of the Savage Nation today for March 4th, 2013, thanks, taxpayers. Michelle Obama thanks you. She's about to go on a luxurious vacation to China. That's right, according to the Daily Caller. Oh, don't turn the radio off. Is it a little painful for all of you Oscar watchers, all you potheads, to learn that fresh off the family's sixth annual vacation to the Hawaiian island of Oahu, billed to you at the cost of $4 million, Michelle Obama and her daughters Malia and Sasha are now about to jet off to China for over a week of much-needed sightseeing. You see, they're exhausted from the Ukraine thing. It cut into their partying. Now, President Barack Obama won't be making the trip, but don't worry, America. The First Lady's mama, Marianne Robinson, will be tagging along on the federal dime. She's on every trip, you see. The theme of the March 19th to 26th trip to China will be education, according to the Chicago Tribune. The First Lady, her mother, the daughters, will go to Beijing before going to other Chinese cities in order to study education. And how much will it cost you? Well, we don't know. We know that Judicial Watch discovered that the couple racked up an $11 million tab on travel to South Africa to attend Nelson Mandela's funeral in December. Did you hear that? $11 million. One vacation after another. An earlier trip by the Prez and the First Lady to Africa cost Americans in excess of $100 million. 50 vehicles just for the American contingent. 14 limousines for this couple of the people. I'm getting sick of it. I'm getting just sick of it. In June, Michelle Obama felt compelled to go to Ireland for 2 days. She stayed at a $3,300 a night hotel in Dublin. Total cost, $5 million to you. Other vacations the jet-setting Obamas took in 2013, including multi-million dollar trips to Hawaii and Martha's Vineyard. Obama also took a trip to California in August to meet with Democrat fundraiser Jeffrey Katzenberg and to appear on the Good Night Show. That cost $2 million. Question for all you good liberals. How do you feel about the WH message of income inequality and carbon-based pollution now? Is the nickname Mooch Shell offensive or accurate, and why? Why do you think the Obamas get away with this incredibly lavish lifestyle? Could it be because you are not doing your job? Sound off on this. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.